profesor universitario muchos años, ya está retirado, ha sido maestro de la liga, estuvo en San Diego muchos años también, sirviendo allá como maestro, tiene un ministerio de apologética internacional, ha escrito un montón de libros, varios que usamos en México en español, y después de años de retirarse y todo, pensando en lo que hablaban también durante este retiro, decidieron él y su esposa regresar a la misión y ahora dirigen la iglesia en Merced, California. Así que también son líderes de iglesia, no solo es maestro.
Gracias. Está funcionando así. Espero que enseñar en español, pero sería un desastre. Porque, mi amigo, de muchos años, Arturo. All right, so we're going to be talking about the subject Calvinism.
Hoy vamos a hablar del tema Calvinismo.
And to start off, I want to mention why this is something that's worth talking about.
Primero comenzar diciendo por qué vamos a hablar de este tema.
Almost every important false doctrine we come across in evangelical Christianity
casi cada falsa doctrina que se ha generado en el cristianismo
comes from Calvinism.
Viene del calvinismo.
Once saved, always saved.
Una vez salvo, siempre salvo.
Calvinism.
Calvinismo.
Pray Jesus into your heart.
Ora Jesús en tu corazón.
Calvinism.
Eso es calvinismo.
Baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace.
El bautismo es una señal externa de una gracia interna.
Calvinism.
Calvinismo.
Easy believism. Calvinism.
La creencia fácil. Calvinismo.
So we're going to talk about it.
Así que vamos a hablar de eso.
I wish I had more time. I have 3 hours of material.
Quisiera tener más tiempo porque traigo 3 horas de material.
So I just hit a few highlights.
Así que solo voy a mencionar lo más importante.
I'm going to start by asking a few questions.
Vamos a iniciar haciéndonos unas preguntas.
Is predestination biblical?
¿La predestinación es bíblica?
I taught a class on this topic many years ago in San Diego.
Enseñé una clase sobre esto hace muchos años en San Diego.
I asked that question.
Hice esa pregunta a la audiencia.
Only one person raised their hand.
Solo una persona levantó la
mano. In the entire room.
En todo el cuarto.
I did.
Yo lo hice.
If you read Romans chapter 8, and Romans chapter 9, and you don't believe in predestination, then I think you didn't read those chapters. So if it is biblical, what passages support that? And what does biblical predestination look like?
Y realmente, ¿cómo se ve la verdadera predestinación bíblica?
Question number two.
Pregunta dos.
We know that God is sovereign, yes.
Sabemos que Dios es soberano, ¿verdad?
But is his sovereignty absolute?
Pero su soberanía es absoluta.
Is God's will always done?
Siempre se hace la voluntad de Dios.
Are human beings born guilty of the sin of Adam?
Los bebés nacen culpables del pecado de Adán.
I think that's the first easy question I asked.
Esa es la pregunta más fácil, la primera.
Do you accept the idea of the fall?
Aceptamos la idea de la caída.
We talk about the fall of man, right?
Hablamos de la caída del hombre.
Do you accept that idea?
Tú la aceptas.
If so, what happened?
¿Qué sucedió entonces?
In what sense were we different than we otherwise would have been?
¿En qué sentido somos diferentes que de otra manera no lo hubiéramos sido?
My sixth question is also an easy one.
Mi segunda pregunta también es una fácil.
But Calvinists get it wrong.
Pero los calvinistas lo toman de otra manera.
Is the idea of free will biblical?
Es la idea de que sí, el libre albedrío es bíblico.
Okay, if so, what verses would you use?
¿Qué versículos usarías?
First we have to have a definition. What is Calvinism? Calvinism is Reformed theology. That's associated with John Calvin. But that's a useless definition. It tells me nothing. So let me give you a better definition. Listen carefully. It's the theological system based on two things. The assumption of the absolute sovereignty of God.
el que se asume la soberanía absoluta de Dios.
And the concept of total depravity.
Y el concepto de la depravación total.
Of human beings.
De los seres humanos.
So, here's our outline. History.
Historia.
Influence on Christian theology. Biblical teaching on these topics. And refuting Calvinism. Except we'll definitely not do part four.
Which one?
The last four. We won't have
time.
Okay. So, let's talk about total depravity. I was studying the Bible with a guy just last weekend. He was a PhD physics student. I thought we had something in common, you know? And he said, I believe in total depravity. He says, I completely believe in total depravity. Okay. So what is this idea? It's the idea that when Adam and Eve rebelled, the result was a fall, which made them be completely depraved. Incapable of loving God. Completely incapable of having faith in God. And the belief that this depravity is genetically inherited. That's why the Catholics invented the Immaculate Conception of Mary. Because how could a totally depraved woman give birth to the Son of God?
Porque como una mujer totalmente depravada pudo haber dado a luz al Hijo de Dios.
So I'm going to try to do as quick a history of Calvinism as I can.
Así que vamos a ver rápidamente una visión del Calvinismo a través de la historia.
So it comes down to this.
Se reduce a esto.
Where did these ideas come from?
¿De dónde vienen estas ideas?
Well, it begins in the 3rd century.
Comenzaron en el siglo 3.
When parents started baptizing their little babies. When this first happened, the church leaders did not support the idea. But then a church leader's name was Cyprian. He decided to explain why they're doing that. This is the 4th century. He introduced the idea of original sin. Now we could ask, is original sin a correct teaching? The idea that we're born already guilty of the sin of Adam. But he invented this doctrine to explain a practice that they already had. Normally, you want your practice to come from your doctrine. Now, the chief bad guy in this story is Augustine. Brilliant scholar. Great theologian destroyed Christianity in many ways. He wrote the book Confessions, in which he described himself as a youth and how deprived he was. He came out of the Manichee religion. That's pretty good. They believed that physical things were bad. And all pleasure is evil. And Augustine kind of baptized that idea into Christianity. He described himself at the age of 8 stealing an apple, how depraved he was. At the age of 8 he was stealing an apple from a tree, how sinful he was. Yeah. And he said, when I was a baby, I was selfishly doing things to my mother. So one mistake of Augustine is to imagine all pleasure being evil. Another mistake he made, maybe the worst one, is he raised God's sovereignty above his other qualities. He made God's sovereignty his chief quality. God has many qualities. His holiness, his justice, his love, his omnipotence, his omnipresence. But Augustine made the mistake of making his sovereignty the most important quality. So he wrote a book called The City of God. And he decided that God is completely sovereign. And we have no freedom at all. He developed a theological system called monergism, which all the work of salvation is on God and none of it is on us. We play no role in that at all. Which quotes do I have? I can't remember. Oops. It's not forwarding.
Above this laser.
It's not forwarding.
Creo que se le acabó la pila.
We'll keep talking while they fix that. So, he said, tiny babies are not weighed down by their own sin. But by are being burdened by the sin of another. Which explains why they need to be baptized. But that was original sin. But he went farther. He said, men's evil wills are prepared by God and predestination. God, in his timeless wisdom, decided to prepare only a few for salvation. This is the doctrine known as limited atonement. And he developed the idea of total depravity. He said the only thing we're able to do is to choose which wickedness we will do. And the ability to do anything good is completely out of our hands. So we have the quotes here now. Basically, Calvinism is Augustinianism. Got it? Now, we think about the Reformation, which brought Christianity back to the Bible, yes? It's true. The Reformation brought church practice back to the Bible.
La reforma contribuyó a que la práctica de la iglesia regresara a la Biblia.
But Luther and Zwingli and Calvin brought theology back to Augustine.
Pero Lutero, Zwingli y Calvino lo que hicieron fue llevar la teología no de regreso a la Biblia, sino de regreso a Agustín.
I believe Roman Catholic theology is much closer to the Bible.
A veces yo creo que la teología del catolicismo romano está más cerca de la Biblia
than most evangelical theology.
Que mucho de la teología evangélica.
Because of Augustine.
Debido a Agustín.
Because the Catholic Church doesn't follow Augustine anymore.
Porque la Iglesia Católica ya no sigue a Agustín más.
They follow Thomas Aquinas.
Ellos más bien siguen a Tomás Aquino.
But I'm getting ahead of myself. His opponent was Pelagius. Pelagius taught that perfection is possible.
Él enseñó que la perfección sí es posible.
It's even obligatory.
Y que de hecho es obligatorio.
You know, when your opponent is over here,
cuando tu oponente está acá,
what do you do?
¿Qué haces?
You go over there. He said, we did not sin in Adam. No, we actually sinned like Adam. Anyway, he became the enemy of Augustine. He fled to the east. He said, he created this system known as Pelagianism. So your Calvinist friend will call you a Pelagian. So, Augustine, he opposed Pelagius. He said death came from sin.
Y él dijo, no, la muerte vino del pecado.
In other words, he said, if we hadn't sinned, we would have been immortal.
Si no, seríamos inmortales porque no hubiéramos pecado.
Is that true?
¿Es eso verdad?
Think about that.
Yes.
He said, infants must be baptized.
Y él dijo, los infantes tienen que ser bautizados.
In order to be cleansed from original sin.
Para ser limpiados del pecado original.
Which led to the idea. That the sins we commit in this life have to be forgiven by another means. Through indulgences and masses and all that work salvation stuff. He said, we are completely incapable of doing good works. He says, little babies who die without baptism will go to hell. So encouraging, right? Okay. Oh, I don't know what this is. Yeah, okay, we already did this. Good. Yeah. Okay, another author, Julian of Eclanum. He said about Augustine, you think that your Lord is capable of committing a crime against justice,
es capaz de cometer un crimen contra la justicia,
which even the barbarians wouldn't conceive of. Anyway, the ascetics were not friends with Augustine.
No eran amigos con Agustín.
The ascetics said, we're going to commit our life to God. But if you believe Augustine,
pero si crees en Agustín,
why bother?
¿Para qué no estás?
Because either God chooses you to go to heaven.
Porque si crees en eso, entonces, ¿para qué te molestas en ser?
In which case you do whether you like it or not.
Porque si Dios te escogió para el infierno, te vas a ir de todas maneras.
Or you don't.
O no te vas, si ya te escogió.
So the ascetics preferred Julian of Eclanum.
Ese era el favorito de los ascetas o ascéticos.
Okay, I'm blasting through this stuff. Thomas Aquinas. He's the hero. He said, no, Augustine, you're wrong.
Él dijo, no, Agustín, tú estás mal.
And here's the thing.
Y aquí está la cosa.
Remember we asked, is God's will always done?
Recuerda que preguntamos, ¿siempre se hace la voluntad de Dios?
Calvin says, yes.
Calvino dijo, sí.
Augustine says, yes.
Agustín dijo, sí.
Jesus says, no.
Y Jesús dijo, no.
What did he pray?
¿Qué enseñaba él?
Your will be done.
O más bien que orar,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Que se haga su voluntad así en el cielo como en la tierra.
But here's how the logical Augustine would respond.
Aquí está como el, lógico de Agustín respondería.
If God's will is not always done,
si la voluntad de Dios, entonces, no se hace siempre,
that means God is not sovereign.
Entonces, eso significaría que Dios no es soberano.
Okay, I understand that.
Bueno, yo entiendo eso.
So Thomas Aquinas helped us out.
Así que vino Tomás de Aquino y nos ayuda con eso.
All right, Derry, can you read that in Spanish?
Yes. Dios, por lo tanto, es la causa primera, quien mueve causas tanto naturales como voluntarias. Y así como al mover las causas naturales no impide que sus acciones sean naturales, al mover las causas voluntarias no priva sus acciones de ser voluntarias, sino que más bien es la causa de esto mismo en ellas, pues obra en cada caso según su propia naturaleza.
So basically he said, God's sovereign will was to give us sovereign will. Because we're made in God's image. And God is not giving up his sovereignty. So is God's will always done? I was going to say, pick up a newspaper.
Yo te diría, ponte a leer un periódico.
But nobody ever picks up a newspaper.
Right.
Pick up your cell phone, I guess.
Saca tu celular,
is God's will always done? So that means God is not sovereign, right?
Entonces, eso significa que Dios no es soberano,
¿verdad? No.
Pues no.
Why did God allow us to do evil?
¿Por qué Dios nos permite hacer el mal?
Because he loves us so much.
Porque nos ama tanto.
Why did I? All right, God put the tree of life in the garden.
Está bien, Dios puso el árbol de la vida en el jardín.
Why did he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden if it was bad for us?
¿Y por qué también puso el árbol del conocimiento de la vida y la muerte en el jardín si sabía que era malo para nosotros?
Why would he do that?
Okay, algo así.
Because he loves us.
Porque nos ama.
Actually, we did our Bible talk this week on this subject.
De hecho, mi charla bíblica esta semana fue sobre este tema.
Genesis 1:36.
Genesis 1:36.
God made everything and it was good.
Dios hizo todo y era muy bueno.
And you look around.
Y veo alrededor.
Doesn't look so good.
Y si oigo que sale algo no se ve tan bien.
Well, what happened?
¿Qué pasó?
Genesis 3.
Genesis 3.
God said, you get to choose.
Dios les dijo, ustedes elijan.
Because love gives a choice.
Porque el amor siempre da elección.
And you can't force somebody to love you.
Y no puedes forzar a nadie que te ame.
But in Calvinism,
pero en el Calvinismo,
you're forced to love God.
Estamos forzando el amor de Dios.
Either that or worse,
o peor aún,
you're forced to do evil.
Estamos forzándolo a hacer el mal.
And there's Christians that actually believe this.
Y hay cristianos que realmente creen esto.
Like most evangelical Christians.
Como los cristianos evangélicos.
Now, they don't know that they believe this.
Ellos no saben que ellos creen esto.
But they do.
Pero es cierto, lo creen.
It sounds crazy.
Suena loco.
But I'm going to explain that.
Pero voy a decir más.
Okay, next we come to Martin Luther.
Vamos a hablar de Martin Luther.
Right, yeah, Martin Luther. All right, he was an Augustinian monk.
Él era un monje agustino.
That explains a lot.
Eso explica mucho.
Because understand this, what was done during the Reformation
entendamos algo, lo que se hizo en la Reforma
is to take Augustine
es tomar a Agustín,
total depravity,
la declaración total.
Predestination of the elect.
La predestinación de los elegidos.
And the lost.
Y de los perdidos.
And just brought it into Christianity.
Y traerlo al escenario del cristianismo.
Now, Luther made some great discoveries.
Ahora, Lutero hizo grandes descubrimientos.
Despite what I'm about to say, I think of Luther as a hero.
A pesar de lo que voy a decir ahorita, yo personalmente creo que Martín Lutero con él.
Because he rediscovered salvation by faith.
Porque él redescubrió la salvación por fe.
Unfortunately, he said alone.
Pero desafortunadamente dijo solamente salvación por fe.
In his German translation,
en su traducción alemana,
where it says Abraham was saved by faith,
donde dice salvados por fe,
Luther added the word alone, the German word alone.
Lutero agregó la palabra en alemán para solamente.
And in the first edition of his Bible in German, he removed James from the Bible.
Y en la primera edición en alemán de la Biblia que él publicó, removió el libro de Santiago de la Biblia.
You know how it works.
Ya sabes cómo funciona esto.
Those guys are over there.
Ellos hombres están por allá.
So you go over here.
Así que yo me voy a otro
extremo. Anyway,
de cualquier forma,
he believed in infant baptism,
él creía en el bautismo infantil,
and therefore he taught original sin,
enseñó el pecado original,
and the horrible teaching of total depravity.
Y la enseñanza horrible de la depravación total.
He said, the book of James is a book of straw.
Él dijo, el libro de Santiago es un libro de paja.
So what did he say about, yeah, that's what he said about James.
Ahí está lo que dijo de Santiago.
All right, here we go. Why don't you read that one?
El libro de Pedro es un término vacío cuya realidad se pierde y una libertad perdida no es libertad en absoluto. El libro de Pedro es en realidad una ficción. Todo ocurre por absoluta necesidad.
Where did he get that from?
Yeah.
That's Augustine.
Es Augustine.
Now, do you agree with that?
¿Tú estás de acuerdo con eso?
That free will is essentially a meaningless term? Now, Luther addressed the question that's brought up in 1 Timothy where it says God desires all people to be saved. In other words, that scripture says it is God's will
es la voluntad de Dios
that everybody be saved.
Que todos sean salvos.
Now, is everybody saved?
Pero, ¿todos son salvos?
No.
Pues no.
Well, that can't be.
Entonces, no puede ser eso.
Something's got to give.
Algo está mal aquí.
And if you put God's sovereignty above all the other qualities,
y si pones la soberanía de Dios por encima de todas las demás cualidades de Dios,
guess what has to give?
Adivina qué es lo que pasa.
So that's what happened.
Eso fue lo que pasó.
So, he said about that scripture,
él dijo acerca de esa escritura,
that God wants all people to be saved.
Que Dios quiere que todos sean salvos.
He said, this is only talking about the elect.
Lo que dijo Lutero, bueno, solamente está hablando de los
so basically he said, God wants all elect people to be saved. And the rest of the people, he wants them to be lost. Like almost everybody. God's will is almost that almost everybody would be lost. Now don't you quote me on that. That, can you imagine a Christian believing that? That's Baptist, Presbyterian, you know, yeah. And like I said, I was having a Bible study with my physics graduate student just last week, and he said, yeah, that's exactly what I believe. So, Luther said, all things derive from and depend on
y dependen de
the divine directive.
Las directivas divinas.
All right. Actually, though, Protestant Christianity does not come from Martin Luther.
Ah, sin embargo, hay que entender que el protestantismo cristiano no viene precisamente de Martin Luther.
Martin Luther really only influenced one important religious group.
Martin Luther realmente solo influenció un grupo religioso muy importante.
Lutherans.
Los luteranos.
No, it's actually Ulrich Zwingli.
Realmente fue Ulrich Zwingli.
I've got some more quotes. Did we do this one already?
No.
Yeah, well, let's just do the first one.
Okay, vamos a ver this. Todas las cosas surgen y dependen del designio divino por el cual fue preordenado quien recibiría la palabra de vida y quien no lo creería, quien sería librado de sus pecados y quien sería endurecido en ellos, quien sería justificado y quien sería condenado.
How terrible is that?
¿Qué terrible es eso?
That's most Protestant theology.
Esto es mucho de la teología del protestantismo.
You know, a friend of mine asked me to teach a chemistry class in a local high school in San Diego. For a Christian school.
Para una escuela cristiana.
And they said, oh, right, you know, we just want you to sign this. It's called the Dort Confession. It's a city in Holland. It doesn't matter.
Es una ciudad en Holanda.
Basically, they wanted me to sign this. I didn't accept the job. Okay. Do we have Ulrich Zwingli next? All right, Zwingli. Ulrich Zwingli, created Reformed theology, which is the theology of most evangelical Christianity. Not all. We have John Wesley. I'll mention him briefly. Here's a couple of quotes.
Aquellos individuos que terminan condenados para siempre en el infierno también están determinados eternamente por Dios para ese destino.
What do you think about that teaching?
¿Qué piensas de esa enseñanza?
Notice the smile on his face.
Mira que la sonrisa que tiene su voz. Muy feliz.
So, they began to use this terminology.
Así que comenzaron a usar esta terminología.
There's the elect.
Están los elegidos por un lado.
And the reprobate.
Y los que reprobaron.
The elect are those that God said, you go to heaven.
Los elegidos son los que Dios decidió que van a ir al cielo.
Whether you like it or not.
Te guste o no, te vas al cielo.
You go to heaven.
Te vas al cielo.
And the reprobate.
Y los otros,
the vast majority of all human beings.
Que sería la gran mayoría de los seres humanos.
You go to hell.
Te van al infierno.
Because I want you to.
Porque yo lo quiero así.
Now, is the idea of election in the Bible?
La idea de elección está en la Biblia.
Sure. So's the idea of predestination. But we probably ought to have a biblical definition of election. And we probably ought to have a biblical definition of predestination. Well, that's my job today, okay, to help you out there. Okay? So, reprobate, that is not in the Bible. That concept is not found anywhere in the Bible.
No se encuentra en la Biblia, algo así.
Oh, Zwingli did us one other favor. Favor. He was the very first biblical teacher to ever teach that baptism is a symbol. The year roughly 1522. Almost 1,500 years after Christ died. the very first teacher ever recorded to claim that baptism is just a symbol. Again, that relates to this theology. He was trying to throw out the whole sacramental system of the Catholic Church. So if anybody ever says, yeah, baptism is just a symbol, you just inform that person. Literally, not a single Christian person ever taught that for the first 1,500 years. Including Luther, by the way. Alright, John Calvin. What Calvin taught and what Zwingli taught is very similar. Alright, let's read this one.
Llamamos por designación al decreto eterno de Dios por el cual determinó consigo mismo lo que quería que cada ser humano fuera, pues no todos son creados en igualdad de condiciones, más bien la vida eterna está predestinada para algunos, la condenación eterna para otros, por lo tanto, como todo ser humano ha sido creado para uno u otro de estos fines, hablamos de él como predestinado a la vida o a la muerte.
If you go to your local Presbyterian church or Baptist church or even just kind of generic evangelical church, do their members believe this? No, they don't believe that.
No, no creen eso.
But their minister was trained to believe that. And he probably even signed a confession in which he said he believed that. So, let me see what else I want to say. Skipping a lot. He said, humans have no free will. And whatever will we have left is a frightful deformity.
Es una deformidad.
He said, what remains in human beings?
Él dijo que lo que quedaron en los seres humanos,
vermin and rottenness.
Era solamente como maldad y podredumbre.
That little baby in the cradle?
Ese pequeño bebé en su carriola.
Calvin said, vermin and rottenness.
Calvino diría, maldad y podredumbre.
Okay. I don't have time to talk about Beza. I'll just say, Beza took Calvin, and he made it more systematic. And he developed the system we call TULIP. Now the honest truth is, TULIP only works in English. It's a great acronym in English, but it's useless in Spanish. But I don't know a better acronym, so I'm going to just use it anyway. It's a kind of flower that grows in Holland. And this system was developed in Holland. So it's like a joke, I guess.
Right.
So, total depravity.
La depravación total.
See, if you believe in total depravity,
si tú crees en la depravación total,
as my friend did,
como mi amigo que le digo que,
and as most ministers do,
y como muchos ministros creen,
they believe that grace is 100% of God,
ellos creen que la gracia es 100% Dios,
and 0% of you, that were saved by faith alone, all that's total depravity. Now if you believe in total depravity, if you believe in total depravity, then you have to believe in unconditional election. Which says, if God chooses you, Too bad. If you don't want to be a Christian, tough luck for you. Because God chose you. Now, do you see why evangelism might have a little bit less motivation here? Let's say you work your whole life to share your faith. How many people will be saved because you shared your faith? Zero. You didn't move the needle at all. Okay. Limited atonement. This one gets me really angry. Because God wants all people to be saved. And the Bible I read says Jesus died for the sin of the whole world. Sorry, English. Jesus died for the sin of... All right. Okay. I was trying to... Anyway, whatever. All right. And then, irresistible grace. I kind of like that one. And perseverance of the saints. I kind of like that one. Because if you're saved, there's nothing you could do to undo that. It sounds like such a happy doctrine. But here's the problem. If you talk to a Calvinist, which is pretty much everybody, at least in America, and you mention, well, this person went back into sin, they're doing drugs, stealing, so they fell away, right? They don't read Hebrews very much. No, no, they never got saved. Do you see the subtle thing this does? By the way, the reason Hebrews was written is so that we could have confidence in our salvation. But in this system, ironically, there's no confidence in your salvation. How do you know you're saved? Because you didn't fall, I don't know, because you didn't fall away, you didn't go back into sin. There's no confidence there. Okay. I'm compressing the history a little bit. The opponent of Beza and Calvin was Jacob Arminius. He taught synergism. So there's monism. God totally sovereign. Us totally depraved. Salvation is all of God and zero of us. And synergism, which says God is sovereign, but in his sovereign will, he said, choose life or death, blessings or curses. And a loving God begs you, choose life. Choose heaven. Don't choose hell. What does a Calvinist do with Deuteronomy chapter 30? So, synergism. If you're ever accused of being an Arminian,
Si alguna vez has sido acusado de ser arminiano.
He said, you mean Armenian?
Tú dijiste arminiano.
That's a joke.
Es una broma.
Armenian, how's that word?
Armenian.
Yeah.
I was told that when I joined the church.
Oh, yeah. You know, from Armenia versus. Yeah, okay, they got me. Yeah. Sometimes the jokes don't pass into Spanish. Arminius said, God gives us sufficient grace.
Que Dios nos da suficiente gracia
so that we could choose
para que podamos elegir
whether to believe or not to believe.
¿Qué vamos a creer o qué no vamos a creer?
Okay, I have to go quickly here. We could talk about America.
Vamos a hablar ahora de América, Estados Unidos.
Jonathan Edwards, the most famous theologian in America.
De los más famosos en Estados Unidos, Jonathan Edwards.
A total Calvinist.
Era un calvinista total.
He preached hellfire and brimstone, right? He said in Adam's fall, we all sinned. He talked about a sinner in the hands of an angry God. At the time of the U.S. Revolution, church attendance in the U.S. was very low, much lower than it is today. And then we had the Great Awakening in America. And what was developed is what I call happy Calvinism. Before I talk about that, I want to give credit to John Wesley. Because Wesley was Arminian. Wesley is pretty awesome. You should read about him. But most Protestants went this way. So during the Great Awakening on the American frontier, theologians began to teach what I call happy Calvinism. For example, oops, where's that tulip thing? Yeah. They would teach 4-point Calvinism. One, two, whoops, three, four. Because nobody likes this. It's so obviously unbiblical. But if you have unconditional election, then there's only two possibilities. Either everyone is saved, or you have limited atonement. One person famous for this was Charles Finney. Okay, let me see here. Charles Finney said, the church has always felt the need to have an action that represents salvation. He said, in the New Testament times, it was baptism. But now, we're going to replace baptism. We're going to have what they call the mourner's bench. So you come to church, you walk forward, you have a nice emotional experience, you ask Jesus to come into your heart, good to go. The mourner's bench. You know, you come forward. And so he said, we don't need baptism anymore. Because it's just an outward sign of an inward faith anyway. You come forward, have a nice feeling in your heart, go home, good to go. And then in the late 1800s, we got Billy Sunday. That's his actual name. Billy Sunday. And he developed what's called the Sinner's Prayer. And then you have Billy Graham and these guys. The four spiritual laws. And so, all you do is come to church, get a nice tingling in your heart, and you're part of the elect, you're good to go. So, I've no idea how long I've been going, by the way. I've no idea.
You can continue
until
tomorrow.
No, I have to end in about 5 minutes. Alright, so let me, okay. Implications of Calvinism. Why don't you just read those off?
Sería, rechazo de la regeneración bautismal, falta de motivación hacia el arrepentimiento y esfuerzo hacia la rectitud, ideas extrañas sobre la creación, una vez salvo siempre salvo, falta de motivación intrínseca para la evangelización, arrogancia hacia los perdidos, intelectualismo, y falta de seguridad de la salvación.
Yeah, when American slavery was happening,
cuando se vivía el tema de la esclavitud en Estados Unidos,
Calvinists had a pretty good explanation.
Los calvinistas tuvieron una explicación muy interesante.
They were the ones defending Calvinism.
Ellos eran los que estaban defendiendo el Calvinismo.
John Wesley and the Methodists were the ones that got rid of slavery.
John Wesley y los metodistas por su lado estaban tratando de hacer un lado la esclavitud, de terminarla.
Now, I have to do a little bit. I want to talk about what I actually believe.
Y ahora quiero hablarte de lo que yo creo.
So I'm going to change gears so I can do it in 5 minutes.
Así que voy a hacer 5 minutos.
Let's go to Romans chapter 8.
Vamos a Romanos 8.
People say baptism is a work.
La gente dice que el bautismo es una obra.
And no work could ever be connected with our salvation.
Y que ninguna obra debe estar conectada con nuestra salvación.
Two problems with that.
Hay dos problemas con eso.
Number one, baptism is not a work.
Número uno, el bautismo no es una obra.
And a work can be connected with our salvation.
Y una obra sí puede estar conectada con nuestra salvación.
They asked Jesus, what work must I do to be saved?
Le preguntaron a Jesús, ¿qué obra debo hacer para ser salvo?
He says, no, we're saved by faith alone. No, he said the work is to believe.
No, dijo, la obra es creer.
Another work,
otra obra,
is to repent.
Es arrepentimiento.
But what about baptism?
Pero ¿qué tal bautismo?
We say, se bautizado, see? It's something that's done to you. Have you ever seen a Jewish baptism? I've seen quite a few of them. They baptize themselves. Who invented baptism as something that's done to you? John the Baptist. Because God wants us to understand that the moment of salvation, that's the work of God. We ain't doing anything. But God wants us to do something, like believe and repent of our sins. So what about predestination? Okay, just give me a little bit of time in Romans 8.
Vamos a Romanos 8.
Many scriptures we could use, but we just have time to do one.
Podríamos usar muchas escrituras, pero Gálatas, pero solo el tiempo de uno.
Romans 8. Verse 28 through 30. 28 through 30.
Ahora bien, sabemos que Dios dispone todas las cosas para el bien de quienes lo aman, los que han sido llamados de acuerdo con su propósito. Porque a los que Dios conoció de antemano, también los predestinó a ser transformados según la imagen de su Hijo, para que Él sea el primogénito entre muchos hermanos. A los que predestinó, también los llamó. A los que llamó, también los justificó. Y a los que justificó, también los glorificó.
So it says, those he foreknew,
aquellos que supo, que conoció de antemano,
predestined,
los predestinó.
And those he predestined,
y aquellos que predestinó,
he called,
los llamó.
And those he called,
y a los que llamó,
he justified,
los justificó.
And those he justified,
y a los que justificó,
he glorified.
Los glorificó.
Now Calvinism says this.
El calvinismo dice esto.
The number he predestined,
el número que él predestinó,
is exactly equal to the number that he called.
Es exactamente igual al número que él llamó.
That's unconditional election.
Es la elección incondicional.
And the number he called is the number he justified.
Es el número de los que justificó.
And the number he justified is the number he glorified.
Y el número de los que justificó es el número de los que glorificó.
That's once saved, always saved.
Eso es una vez salvos, siempre salvos.
Is that a reasonable reading of that scripture?
Eso es una lectura razonable de este pasaje.
Yes.
Sí.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Sí, es.
But we have to read the whole Bible.
Pero hay que leer toda la Biblia.
Where God says he wants all people to be saved.
Donde Dios dice que todos sean salvos.
And if that last point is true, then just rip the book of Hebrews out of your whole Bible.
Y si ese punto fuera cierto, no fuera cierto, habría que quitar todo el libro de Hebreos de la Biblia.
But you know what? God is omniscient. God is omniscient. He knows everything.
Dios es omnisciente. Él sabe todo.
God knows who are His.
Él sabe quiénes son de Él.
God knows who will be saved.
Él sabe quiénes serán salvos.
God sees time as just one thing.
Dios ve el tiempo de forma diferente a nosotros.
But that doesn't mean He predestined everybody who's going to go to heaven or to hell.
Pero eso no significa que Él predestinó.
God predestined everyone for salvation.
Dios predestinó a todos para la salvación.
Every single living being.
Cada ser humano viviente.
Jesus died for them all.
Jesús murió por todos ellos.
Now, are all those who are predestined,
ahora, todos ellos fueron predestinados?
Are they all called?
¿Fueron todos llamados?
Some people never hear.
Nunca.
Now, I've been on campus the last 4 years. I think I've invited probably about 30,000, you know, students, I think. Did they all come?
He estado en la universidad los últimos 4 años. He invitado como 30,000, you said?
Is everybody called justified?
Miles de personas he invitado, no han venido todos.
Everybody who share your faith, do they all, you call them, do they all get saved?
Todos los que tú has compartido tu fe ya fueron bautizados, salvos, todos son llamados.
All are predestined.
Todos están predestinados.
Not all of them are called.
Pero no todos son llamados.
And certainly not all of them are justified.
Y ciertamente no todos van a ser justificados.
And unfortunately, not all those who are justified are glorified. Now, here's biblical predestination. Every time God took over, it's for our salvation. Just read the book of Romans chapter 9. He said, Jacob I love. Esau I hated. He didn't hate Esau. He loved Esau. What he's saying is, I chose Jacob. Why did he choose Jacob? So that you could be saved. Why did he harden Pharaoh's heart? So that we could be saved. Why did he mess with Judas? So that we could be saved. Every time God intervenes in the world to impose his sovereign will, it's always for our salvation. There is no exception. You certainly will never find an exception in the Bible. So that's my answer. And if you want to hear the 3-hour answer, go to my website and I'll cover that. So I think I need to stop there.
You're okay. All right.
Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Mis hermanos, hemos pasado un tiempo impresionante. Queremos agradecer mucho a Jonas, a Tulo, la traducción. Gracias. Y acepta la invitación para visitar su site para que puedas aprender de Tulip a profundidad. Mis hermanos, quiero darles algunos anuncios, no sin antes, de verdad.